The blessing of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious grace freely bestowed in the Son, and the power of the promised Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, your word feeds your people with life that is eternal. Direct our choices and preserve us in your truth. That rejoicing, that renouncing what is false and evil, we may live in you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. First reading is from 1 Kings. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to heaven. He said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart, the covenant that you kept for your servant, my father David, as you declared to him. You promised with your mouth and have this day fulfilled with your hand. Therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep for your servant, my father David, that which you promised him, saying, There shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel. If only your children look to their way, to walk before me as you have walked before me. Therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you promised to your servant, my father David. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Regard your servant's prayer and his plea, O Lord my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servant prays to you today, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you said, My name shall be there. The place which you, that you may heed the prayer that your servant prays toward this place. Hear the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. O hear in heaven your dwelling place, heed and forgive. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when a foreigner comes and prays toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and so that they may know that your name has been invoked on this house that I have built. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We will pray Psalm 84 responsively. Oh, dear to me, how dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts.
My soul has desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in your holy God.
Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young, by the side of your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Happy are they who dwell in your
Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way.
Those who go through the gulf valley will find a place of springs, for the early rains have covered it with pools of water.
They will climb from height to height, and the God of gods will be seen in Zion.
Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Hear, O God of Jacob.
Behold our defender, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed.
For one day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
For the Lord God is both sun and shield, bestowing grace and glory. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who walk with integrity.
O Lord of hosts, happy are they who put their trust in you. Glory to the Father, action of Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with you, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. Word of God, word of life.
Keep your finger on that spot in the bulletin, because I want to have us sing that response, that acclamation that we just sang at the end of the gospel as well. The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory.
Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew that from the first, those who were the ones that did not believe, and who was the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you, that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Well, I was going to title this sermon, The Last Straw, but I've decided that a better title would be The Turning Point. This is a turning point in our scripture lessons. For the last 5 weeks, we have been hearing the stories, and the gospel reading has been from the Gospel of John, and we've been hearing about this bread of life, bread of life, bread of life. And so some of us might be saying, this is the last straw. We've had enough of this. And next week, we'll go back to the Gospel of Mark. But this is a turning point for the people in this gospel story, a turning point for those who were following Jesus, a turning point where some of the disciples have made the decision that they are no longer going to be followers of Jesus. Some of those people who had been following Jesus since the very beginning are now abandoning him. Up to now, Jesus was a very popular guy, and he saved that wedding from disaster when he changed the water into wine. He healed the blind and the lame. He looked into the eyes of people who were hopeless and gave them hope. He fed the hungry people bread and fish that filled their bellies and left them asking for more the next day. And he filled the hearts and the souls of those who were hungry for words of truth, words of God's love, words of forgiveness and mercy. But now Jesus is turning it all upside down. He's telling a truth that is very hard to accept. He's proclaiming that he is the bread, the only bread. He is the bread that must be eaten for eternal life. And now they leave. They turn around and walk away. They're saying this is just too much to take. Too much of a stretch for us. You know, we could understand if he said it once, we can kind of put it out of our mind. But you keep harping on this, and it's too much for us to take. And they don't walk with him anymore. It's a difficult teaching that Jesus proclaims. Whoever eats this bread, this living bread, this is my body. Whoever eats this will live forever. Jesus realizes that these words are offensive. He even says to them, I know you find this offensive. But he doesn't back down. In fact, he says it again. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will not have life within you. And Jesus watches as crowds turn and walk away from him. But he doesn't change the truth. He turns to those, his closest disciples, and asks them, are you going to go away too? Do you believe? Or are you just here for a free lunch too? Are you here with me for the long haul? Or are you going to walk away? when the stretch is too much, when the going gets tough. Our God is so kind and so gracious. We are created in God's image, and we are given this beautiful world. And God has also given us the freedom to respond in love and thanksgiving. What an awesome God. What a good, gracious, kind God. And that God loves us so much, sinners though we are. God makes the sun to shine on the good and the evil, the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. God cares for all of his precious children, sinners though we be, and keeps inviting us back into a relationship with God, back into the family of God, back into a relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. God is constantly pulling us back to be in his covenant relationship. God loves us, and because God loves us, he established that covenant relationship with us that says, I will not walk away from you, God says to us, no matter what. Even when we turn our back and walk away from God, God is constantly pulling us back, inviting us back, calling us back, seeking us out to return to that fold, to return to that covenant relationship. God never abandoned his people. The history of salvation that we see in our scriptures, God has never abandoned his people. He's constantly seeking them out, inviting them back, inviting us back into that relationship, back to the fellowship of the table, back to this place where we are fed and nourished, nourished and fed, word and sacrament. We do want this bread of life. We want to be fed with heavenly food, but we want it on our terms. We lack conviction. We lack passion. We lack commitment in our hearts and in our lives. We lack the conviction that shows one another, that shows the world that we have this covenant relationship with God. Jesus Christ has a message of love and inclusion for us, but that message is an all or nothing message. He doesn't allow for compromise. For better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, Jesus wants it all. Jesus wants our all. Is that good news? I think it is. I think it is good news because we're not called to be sort of Christian. We're not called to sort of belong to the family of God, to the baptized community of believers. We're not called to belong just when it suits us or when we don't have any conflicts on our calendar or it matches perfectly with our personal agenda. We are called to be the family of God all the time, to love God and to serve God all the time, in good times and in bad, in easy times and in hard times. We are called to a covenant relationship that means all the time. This Bible story is one of many that I wish Paul Harvey were around for, because I love to know the rest of the story. Remember that radio show that Paul Harvey had? What happened to those disciples who once followed Jesus but now turned away? What's the rest of that story? Some left because they wanted a free lunch. They weren't interested in the spiritual food that could feed their hearts. They were only interested in what could feed their bellies. Others left because they just couldn't believe that God was working in and through someone so ordinary as Jesus, the guy they grew up next door to, the ordinary person who looked just like them, human. Could this really be God's work? I don't think so. He's too simple. He's too much like me. It couldn't be God's work. They knew Jesus too well. And that's not what they wanted for a Messiah. Others left, not because they didn't understand, but because they didn't want that truth. They didn't want the truth that God dwells within us. They didn't want the truth that God wants to have an intimate relationship with us. They left because they didn't want to get that close to God. I don't think it's any different today. There are would-be followers of Jesus who are followers in name only, making use of the means of grace and participating in the life of the family of God are low on the list of our priorities. There are would-be followers of Jesus today who are, I didn't know what to call them, good time friends who, or people who are your fair weather friends. Thank you, I should have called you, Gail. Couldn't think of that word last night. The people who are, fair weather friends of Jesus, when there's and of the church, when there's conflict, when there's disagreement, they pick up their marbles and go home. There's no commitment to the whole. There's only the commitment to me, what works for me. There are would-be followers of Jesus who put limits on God's involvement in life. I'll give God 1 hour, or maybe two, on a Sunday morning, but the rest of my time is my time. I will give God my worship and my prayer, but don't be asking me for any of my time or any of my money. I'll create my own moral standards and my own values without any help from the Bible or the church. Thank you very much. Those Ten Commandments are rather outdated anyway. But this is not the kind of following that Jesus is asking of us. Jesus is asking us to be in a covenant relationship with him. And Jesus is asking for it all. He doesn't change his message to make it easier for us. He doesn't back away from the truth so that his disciples would continue to walk with him. Jesus only and always seeks us out, calls us to repentance, shows us by his example how to love. We who seek to be the faithful followers of Jesus listen to his words. We realize, as Peter did, that there is no one else to whom we would go. We who seek to be the faithful followers of Jesus listen to the words of eternal life, and we continue to walk in his way. Know that you are claimed in the waters of baptism. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are marked with the cross of Christ forever. You are nourished with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by his words of eternal life. You are uplifted and supported by the fellowship of the body of Christ. And you, by your participation, do the same for the rest of the body. Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One. Continue in that path. Amen.